There was a young man about 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago. He had found himself in a place of complete darkness, complete hopelessness. And to rewind to kind of the start of his life, he had been a young man who came into a family that he had lots of opportunity. God had gifted him with lots of skills. He had a hopeful future at a young age. With that to be said, alcohol was very prominent in his household growing up. He watched his father struggle with alcoholism. He watched his parents go through a very devastating divorce when he was 12 years old. And at that point, him and his sister went and moved in with her mother. And she was a broken woman at this time. She did not want to lose her kids. Really, her kids were the only thing that she had left in her life. So she basically allowed them to kind of do what they wanted, and this young man totally took advantage of it. He started to drink alcohol at that age, even after watching his father go through alcoholism. He started to smoke marijuana at that age as well. And then going into high school, as you can imagine, when you start those instances that young, things spiral out of control pretty quickly. By the time he was 15, he had tried harder drugs like cocaine for the first time. And at this point, after getting into trouble with the law and just completely letting go of all of the things that he had once hoped for as a younger kid, of going and, you know, playing in the NHL like every other Canadian boy wants to do if they play hockey, or go off and go to university and get a good career. All these things were gone at this point. His mother couldn't handle him anymore, so he had to go live with his father, who, as I said, was an alcoholic, so things didn't get better. Things just got worse. He went into the drugs more, the party life more, completely throwing his life away. To the point when he was 19 years old, that he was just absolutely desperate, hopeless, no hope for the future, and didn't know what to do. Had no church background. Christianity wasn't something that was familiar to him at all. But he knew that he needed help. And through God's sovereignty and God's provision, he brought him to this program called Teen Challenge. He walked through the doors, and guys were saying to him, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And he's like, "I don't even know what that means, but it's probably a good thing, so sure, go ahead." But he knew that there was something different there. And when people would pray, he knew that there was something real there. It wasn't just a religion. It wasn't just a thing that people did on Sunday. That there was power there. There was something there that he wanted. 10 days into this program that he had started at Teen Challenge, he gave his life to the Lord. And God came into his life, and God just started to move in him and just transform him and raise him up and just totally change him from the inside out. It wasn't behavior modification. It wasn't just learning to do things differently, but it was a literal transformation from the inside out. And that was over 10 years ago, and that person was me. So when I talk about Teen Challenge and I talk about addiction and what we're talking about here this morning, I talk about it from a place of experiencing it in my own life. And to think that 10 years ago I was in such darkness, such hopelessness. But today I can look back on that and just see God's faithfulness. As we sang earlier, faithful one. God has been so faithful to me. And if you're here this morning and you've never experienced the power of God, you've never experienced the love of God, if you don't have a relationship with God, and you've just looked at this church thing in Christianity as, you know, just something that people do on Sundays, it ain't just something people do on Sundays. When God comes into your life, everything will change. Not just your behavior. It's not behavior modification. It's total transformation. And that's what Teen Challenge is all about. I wasn't going to share any of that this morning, but I just felt like God wanted me to. So, hi, everybody. My name is Spencer, and I'm one of the staff members at Teen Challenge. And we're just so grateful to be here with you this morning and to share about the ministry, but to share some testimonies about what God is doing. Because at the end of the day, Teen Challenge is just an organization. It's just a ministry. It's not Teen Challenge that changes people's lives. It's the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, working through the program. We're just simply a safe and structured place where people can come and they can be discipled and they can grow in their faith and they can work through all these things of their past. That's all we are. We just want to be obedient to Jesus and allow him to do the work. Is anybody here this morning familiar with David Wilkerson, The Cross and the Switchblade? Show of hands. So a number of people, whether you knew it or not, that's actually the story of how Teen Challenge started. And it's an amazing story. And just to give you a quick recap of it, back in 1958, David Wilkerson was pastoring just a small little country church in Pennsylvania. And it was a great church. It was growing. It was comfortable. It was basically full of hardworking farmers and miners. But at one point, David just thought to himself, you know, is this really all there is to Christianity? Is this all there is to life even? Just being comfortable and coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and prayer on Wednesday? And God spoke to him and said, David, I want you to give up your television time that you spend at night, and I want you to spend that time in prayer. So as probably most of us would do, we would kind of, you know, come against that a little bit and say, Lord, is that really you? Are you really calling me to do that? So he said, Lord, if that's really you that wants me to do this, I'm going to sell my television set. I'm going to put an ad in the newspaper, and if it sells before, if it sells the next day, then I'll know that it's you. So he put the ad in the paper, hit, and so he had to wait one more day to see if it was actually God who had spoke this to him. Sure enough, the next morning, before the paper had hit again, the phone rang. He picked it up, and the guy on the other line said, you have a television for sale? He said, yes. He said, $100. He said, okay, sold. So David Wilkerson knew that it was God calling him into this time of prayer. And he didn't know why. He didn't know if there was any purpose to it at all, but he knew that it was God calling him to do it. So he started to spend 2 hours a night praying, just seeking God, reading his word, spending time with him. And then one night he was sitting there and he had a Life magazine sitting on his desk. And he picked it up and he opened it up. He started to flip through it. And there was an article about a group of teenage boys who were on trial for murder in New York City. And again, God spoke to him and said, David, you were to go to New York and you were to help those boys. And here he was thinking, you know, I'm just a country pastor. I've never been to New York before. I don't know how I'm going to do this. God didn't lay out the blueprint for him of what he was supposed to do. He just said, go to New York and help these boys. So he was obedient. He did it. He went into New York. He found out where the trial was happening. He went in. He tried to get up front and talk to the judge to see if he could see the boys. He was thrown out of the court. The media got a hold of it. They took pictures of him. And it was just a complete disaster. The next day, all of his pastor friends were saying, David, what are you doing? You're making a ridicule of the church. You're making us all look bad. This is awful. You're on the front page of the New York Times as this crazy pastor who storms the courtroom. And he's just defeated, thinking, God, why did you call me here to do this? Obviously, this wasn't right. This wasn't of you. I've made a mess of it. So he went away. He went back to Pennsylvania. But God still continued to press on his heart that he needed to go to New York. So again, he was obedient. But the thing is in all of this, he had a choice to be obedient or not. He heard God's voice, but he very well could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. He had to be obedient. So again, this third time, he was obedient. He went back into New York, and he just started to walk the streets and pray. And at one point, these kids came up to him that he could tell were homeless. They were living in the streets. They were on drugs. They came up to him and said, you're Pastor David. You're the one who was at the trial. The police don't like you. Police don't like us, so you're one of us. And that was exactly the in that he needed in order to connect with these kids on the street. He automatically had the respect because the police didn't like him. The police didn't like them. So through many series of events, if you've heard the name Nikki Cruz, there was all kinds of amazing things that God had done. But really, David Wilkerson knew that he needed to have a place there in New York where he could bring kids in off the streets who were strung out on heroin and he could minister to them, and he could help them overcome the addiction that had trapped them. And that was the very first Teen Challenge Center, and that was 60 years ago. And since that day, the amazing thing is that today there's over 1,400 centers around the world in over 100 countries. Thousands and thousands of lives have been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ because of that. But it all goes back to one act of obedience where God just said, David, I want you to spend time with me. That's it. I want you to spend time with me. And he was obedient to it. What would that look like in our own lives? And I'm talking to myself as well. But if we would just simply say, Lord, I'm just going to spend more time with you. I'm just going to spend more time praying. I'm going to spend more time seeking what you would have for my life. We would be probably absolutely blown away by the things that God would do in and around us just by that one simple act of obedience. But I share that story just to say that these are the roots of Teen Challenge. That's what we're talking about. It's a ministry that was born on prayer, and today we continue to operate on prayer. So enough of me. I'm going to ask David to come on up. Come on up, and we're going to have a little bit of a Q&A here. Why don't we give David a round of applause as he comes? So I'm just going to ask David a few questions. We're just going to get to know him a bit. So why don't you start off by telling us where you're from and how long you've been in the program?
Sure. My name is David. It's good to be here. I was born in Shidya, close to Moncton, and I actually grew up in the Annapolis Valley in Umanas, and I've been in the program for a little over 2 months now.
Awesome. So why don't you just maybe share with us a little bit of what life was like growing up for you in the younger years? What was life like?
Life was actually really good. I was blessed with an amazing family. My biological mother, however, was an alcoholic. So when I was 3 years old, my parents split up and my father took me. So him and my stepmother gave me a really good life. But I guess there was always a little bit of maybe resentment or misunderstanding as to how my mother was treating me. But going through that, it wasn't too bad.
So I guess moving along, coming up to the point where you came into Teen Challenge, what was life like at that point? What was going on that made you kind of decide that you needed to come into Teen Challenge?
Okay, so yeah, so I guess going from there, yeah, things were great, but there was no real religion. There was no God in my life. I grew up kind of like Catholic, but kind of like went to church because that's what we did. And then when the addiction really started, was kind of like in grade 11, grade 12, going into university. I always felt really entitled to alcohol in my drinking. I always just thought it was something I was allowed to do because I was young, and that's what you did in university. That's what you saw on television. And it kind of spiraled out of control. Funny enough, when my life actually got to probably the best it had ever been in terms of having the best job, having the most, you know, personal belongings that I had ever had, just feeling confident in myself and in my life. But clearly there was something lacking because I was drinking lots. I needed something to fill in a void in my life that realize until now is God. But I kind of snapped out of it one day when I was on a 7-day binge. It had never really been that bad drinking. Just didn't go to work, turned my phone off, didn't contact my parents, didn't contact anyone. And then on a Sunday, I realized what I was doing. I called my pastor and I was like, Pastor Nathan, I need help. And, you know, he kind of got me set up in the process of joining Teen Challenge.
Amen. So you've been in the program a couple months now. Since you've been here, what are some of the things that you're kind of working through? What's God doing in your life? And maybe what plans are for the future?
I guess the biggest one is I am still fairly new Christian. Maybe 6 months before I came into the program was when I was introduced to the Moncton Wesleyan and the Celebrate Recovery program there, which Spencer does. So that's definitely been the biggest change. You know, I'm going to be really honest, and I always thought that God was kind of something that you looked up to in times of need, just for kind of like relieve any kind of sadness or any kind of hardships in your life. And I felt very selfish. I would tell my pastor when I first started talking to him, telling him, I don't want to be a Christian now. I'm literally just coming to him and be like, here are all my problems, please fix me. And I kind of felt bad about that. And one day he looked at me and he was like, David, sometimes it's what you need. We can't do this on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. So that's been the biggest change, is really working on my relationship with God and seeing it in a much different light now. And seeing that I really can have a relationship with him, and not feeling guilty about it. You know, with just the amount of mercy and forgiveness that there is there is just unbelievable. You know, I was lucky enough that my parents loved me to the point where they didn't give up on me getting me to Teen Challenge, but kind of like the internal battle that takes on, like the internal forgiveness. And with God, I mean, that's something that I still work on every day. And I've never found like such refuge and sanctuary until I really looked into the Bible and strengthened my relationship with God. I'd say that's the biggest change.
Amen. Well, why don't we give David another round of applause? So just before I bring Isaac up for his testimony, let me just give kind of a formal definition as to what Teen Challenge is. Is there anyone here? How many people are familiar with Teen Challenge? Show of hands. So quite a few. I know we've been here a number of times, but Teen Challenge is a 12-month faith-based residential drug and alcohol treatment program. So I realize that's kind of a mouthful, but basically what it means is we're a one-year program where individuals will come and they'll stay with us for the full year. And we're faith-based, we're a Christian-based program, and it's for those who struggle with drugs and alcohol addiction. Now, Teen Challenge, as I said earlier, is all over the world. We have about 6 centers across Canada that we're affiliated with. The program that we are here representing this morning is located just outside of Moncton, New Brunswick, in Memram Cook, and we are the Atlantic Men's Center. So we are for men. We are currently opening our Atlantic Women's Center in Newfoundland. And we're also in the process of opening another large women's center in Saskatchewan that will be open by the end of the year as well. And God is just doing some awesome stuff there. But I'll also mention, for anyone that's not familiar, Teen Challenge, although that is our name, Teen Challenge, we're actually for all ages. So from 18 and up, we've had people graduate our program who are 63 years old. And it just goes back, the confusion with the name just goes back to the roots of David Wilkerson, who ministered to kids on the street, youth in the street in New York. But as it grew around the world, the name grew, the recognition name. But Teen Challenge wanted to expand its reach and open its doors for those that were a little bit older. And also regulation in Canada is a little bit tighter, and having people under the age of 18 logistically is much more difficult because of the laws. So Teen Challenge, yes, Teen Challenge, but we're for all ages. I just wanted to make that clarification. So Isaac, why don't you come on up and share your story, and let's make him feel warm and welcome.
Hello, everyone. Before I begin, I just want to say thank you on behalf of Spencer and David and I for the families that billeted us and basically made it happen that we could stay in Yarmouth, since it's a 5.25-hour drive from where the center is. So thank you very much for your hospitality. So my name is Isaac from Chatham, Ontario, and this is my 4th month clean. I never realized, thank you. I never realized fully until I got into Teen Challenge that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Every time we harm our bodies, we are allowing Satan to control our lives, serving sins and growing further from God. It took a lot of soul searching, but once I finally found a sober idea of who I was, I found what were some of the major reasons why my personality became addictive, which led me to drugs, alcohol, and the party life. It had layers upon layers of reasons why I had grown an addictive personality. At first glance, all my life, it looked like I had everything put together and everything under control. But once the solution faded, you could start to see how influenced I got by my friends and how that manipulation grew into my own personality for my own benefit when I was really young. We all have faced peer pressure in our lives at one point or another. This is a serious thing, which made me more susceptible to any type of influences around me. I was not exposed to any major negative influences until I was in my second year of high school, when I was first introduced to house parties by the seniors in their fourth year of high school. Not only did the seniors talk me into drinking every weekend, they showed me an unobtainable image of what it's like to be cool. This redefined my personality, manipulating everyone, pretending as though I was on their side. This completely ignorant behavior drove me not knowing who I truly was deep down. And what made my uncertainty and confusion worse in my later teens was the fact that I'm adopted. This fact alone brought to my childhood a whole bunch of unanswered questions and, more significantly, emotions that I would never be able to handle at this time. Like most addicts, I suppressed these emotions at a very young age, building them up inside, which only fueled my personality, molding myself into more facades just to be cool. I abused every outlet of feelings I could find. The healthy outlets, like fitness, art, and games, and many friendships, disappeared after high school ended. Once my outlets were gone, I turned to abusing relationships through lying to my family, cheating on my girlfriend, and manipulating my best friends. Most of you can relate to when we lie or do anything wrong for that matter. The biggest emotion felt after is guilt. My emotionally suppressing behavior got bigger and bigger. I did not want to feel. By this time, I was in my first month of university. I had discovered that the drugs, girls, and alcohol were the easiest way to put aside my emotions. Not only my emotions, but they also hid the daily necessities in life, like hygiene, not to mention the overwhelming anxiety from all the responsibilities we battle in our daily lives. During my entire stay in residence, I was permanently high. Every day, every hour, every 15 minutes of the day, I was smoking marijuana. Every weekend, I would drink until I threw up. Twice a day, I was swallowing 40 milligrams of Vyvanse. Slaving over my sins and doing these drugs didn't give me happiness at all. Instead, paranoia crept into my life. A few months have passed, and my awful actions had led me to live through an entire week of no sleep and very little to eat with a shattered mind. And when I say shattered mind, I'm speaking of a mental illness with symptoms like hallucinations, delusional thinking, irrational thoughts, mood swings, impulsivity, and paranoia. This illness is called psychosis. I was clinically diagnosed with it at the age of 18 years old. Near the very end of my manic week of psychosis, my neurotransmitters had enough. Being emotionally unstable and on a lot of drugs, I was dangerously paranoid. It led me to lock myself in my dorm room on the sixth floor of my residential apartment, barricading the door with my dresser, looking out the window, crying, while drowning myself into more drugs, snorting the pills I was prescribed at this point. When one of my roommates then knocked on the door, knowing something was wrong. With my reality being twisted, I thought he was the enemy. All I can remember is opening the door with my hands headed straight for his neck, choking him until he passed out. My twisted mind thought he was dead, so I took refuge to my room again. The next knock on the door was the campus police. They brought me straight to the hospital's mental health unit. The entire time I was in university, I was away from my faith. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, Paul divides the world into two groups of people: those who are controlled by their sinful nature and those who are led by the Holy Spirit. I would still be in the first category if Jesus hadn't offered me a, a way out. Daily, we must choose to center our life on God, look into the Bible to discover God's guidelines, and then follow them. In every perplexing situation, I should have asked myself, what would God want me to do? For example, in Genesis chapter 32, 9 to 12, when you read the story of Jacob, ask yourself, how would you feel if you knew you were about to meet the person you had cheated out on his most prized possession? Probably full of fear, even 20 years later. Regardless of Jacob's emotions, he collected his thoughts and decided to pray. In my case, I fell twice more into relapse after my first psychotic episode, with even worse drugs like cocaine and crystal meth. I said yes to Jesus and surrendered after reaching rock bottom financially, maxing out 2 credit cards and a line of credit before I reached the age of 20. My family thought all hope was lost, so they prayed and prayed for a way out of my addiction. As the knowledge of my addiction spread around the small town I grew up in, my family's prayers were answered. My mother's friend suggested the Teen Challenge program. I believe that I am saved from the dark path now that God's light has come into my life through introducing me to this program. Finally, I have direction, and finally I have felt the Holy Spirit giving me strength to do God's will, and I'm very excited to continue this program and graduate to become a new man. My plan to reach the full potential of my new self in the future will be to become an intern at Teen Challenge after my program is done. And I imagine Spencer's going to talk about the intern that you can do. It's called Phase 4, be a Phase 4 student. I also want to become part of a local church to connect with a community of young adults, which will keep me accountable for my actions, faithful and happy. Lastly, after more schooling in music and videography, I would love to start an organization that would integrate music and video with my passion for helping people in need. So thank you for your attention today and to all that are, or if you know anyone that is struggling like I once was, there is hope. Let me be God's proof for you today. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. That's what it's all about. We have, there's 2 of our guys here. We've got a number of guys at Camp Evangeline cooking, as Bud had said. And we have some guys back at the center as well. We have capacity for 14 men in our program. And God is doing awesome stuff in all of their lives. This morning, I want to make it real for all of us. I know in Yarmouth, it's no exception that addiction, drugs, and alcohol are rampant. We all know somebody in our life who struggles or have had their life touched by somebody who has had an addiction. And can I get, Bud, maybe if you and the piano player, could I get you guys to come up and prepare to just play Faithful One in just a couple minutes, just as we get going. But this morning when you came in, you would have received a brochure like this. And I want you to grab that. If anyone didn't get one, just raise your hand and we'll get one to you. But specifically, open it up, and there's a little piece of paper that looks like this. I want you to grab that. So if you don't have one, I just want you to raise your hand, and one of our guys will run it over to you. We'll just make sure that everyone has it. Because here's the deal. As the local church, we need to be the light in our communities. We need to be the ones who are standing in the gap for those who are out there struggling. Because they can't do it on their own. They can't do it by themselves. They need help. And we know the one, the only one, who can come into their life and who can change them. We need to bring that to them. We need to stand in the gap and pray for them. So this is what we're going to do this morning. We are going to challenge every one of you to be that for somebody in your community or in your family or somewhere that you know. this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to take a step of faith on their behalf because they can't do it for themselves. So you're going to take that piece of paper and you're going to write the first name of somebody or multiple people who you know who needs the hope of Jesus that is struggling with addictions. And if you need a pen, again, just raise your hand. One of our guys will bring one over for you. But I want you to write that name of that person or those people that are struggling. And what we're going to do is both of our guys are going to stand up front. We have these little baskets here. And you're literally going to get out of your seat for them, for that person on that piece of paper. And you're going to come and you're going to put that piece of paper in the basket. And that is going to be your commitment for you saying that I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to support this person however I can. I'm going to reach out to them if I have the opportunity to. I'm going to invite them to church if I can. Because they can't do it on their own. And as the body of Christ, we need to be the hands and feet in our communities, in our surrounding areas. We need to be the light in this world that brings the hope of Jesus Christ to those who are hopeless. So, Bud, if you want to come lead us in that song, they're going to play through this as we sing about Faithful One, the Rock. And just in your own time, you just come on forward and you bring that name and you put it in the basket. And after we finish, we are going to pray over these names. And this is our commitment to you. Our commitment to you is that we're going to take these names back to our center, Remember Them Cook, and we have a little box that we put them all in, and we're going to continue to pray for these people as you continue to pray for them as well. So just on your own time, come on up and put the name in the basket. Just come on up. Isn't that powerful to just see with our own eyes the problem that addiction is? Doesn't that just put it into perspective? How many people came forward and put a name in that basket? And there's probably many more as well. Sometimes we don't realize how big of an issue it is. We think to ourselves, we're the only one who has a family member who's struggling, or we're the only one who knows somebody, or we're the only one ourselves that is struggling. But in reality, it's everywhere. And this is the exact same thing that we see at every church that we go to. So many people respond. So many people come up and put a name in that basket because it really is everywhere. Whether it's a small town, whether it's a big city, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a good family, a church family, or the worst of the worst background you can imagine, addiction does not show favoritism, unfortunately. It's everywhere. So we're going to pray over these names. And by your step of faith, you've committed to pray for these people. You've committed to be the hands and feet. You've committed to reach out to them. So let's lift them up right now. God, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for every single thing that every one of these people have ever done in their life. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's drugs, alcohol, what. Whatever they've been through, God, your grace is sufficient for that. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we come to you on behalf of every one of these people. Lord, I thank you for the people in this church who have brought these names forward, and I pray that you would continue to press on their hearts to pray for each and every one of them. God, wherever they're at right now, even right now this morning, I pray that your presence would be just so strong in and around them, even if they don't know what that means or what that is, God, but you would intervene into their life, that you would bring hope, that you would bring light to them. God, I pray for opportunities to go and speak to them, Lord, and to share your gospel with them. I pray that you would put people into their life that would come around them and support them and bring them just hope, God. Lord, I pray that whether or not they need to come to a program like Teen Challenge or something else, that those opportunities would be made available to them. We thank you, Lord, that there's not a person in this world that is too far gone or that has done anything that is too much for you to redeem. Your grace is sufficient for everything that we could ever imagine, Lord. I just thank you for this church. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to guide them as they go out into the community and they minister to people and they just share your hope, Lord. I pray that this church would be a beacon of light in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all so much for your hospitality. We have a table out back, and if you want more information about Teen Challenge, you want to chat with us, please feel free to stop by. We'd love to get that in your hand. If there's anybody that you know that you need to grab a brochure for to give to them, come and see us. If we can pray for you, we would love to do that as well. So thank you so much. God bless.